Hi, I'm Tony Smith, head coach of the Warrington Wolves. This is the Rugby League World Cup final hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General.
Hi there, welcome to another Rugby League World Cup final hooter. 27 games gone, 2 remain. It's Australia versus New Zealand in... Get me teeth in. New Zealand versus Australia at Old Trafford. David Parkinson. Are we surprised that them two have made it all the way through?
To be honest, in short, no. No, I'm not surprised at all. I think that they were obviously the best two teams in it right from the start. They've slugged the way to get to Old Trafford, and I think we're in for a cracker.
Joined by Nathan Lawrenson, a rugby league journalist around the north of England. Nathan, it's been a great tournament, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of highlights in the tournament. There's been some memorable moments that will live with the sport for quite some time. It's obviously a massive shame that England couldn't get through last week, but I'm sure we've got a cracker ahead of us on Saturday.
Forgot to mention, Nathan's also a budding rugby league official. Is that enough said on that?
Shh.
Can't say that.
That's it. Everyone will turn off.
Yeah, okay.
Put something else on. Yeah. Is Coronation Street not starting?
Okay, David, what's coming up on this Rugby League World Cup final hooter?
Well, we're going to be having a reaction to that big semi-final between New Zealand and England. Adrian caught up with Jared Warrior Hargreaves and James Graham.
My mate, the Warrior.
Yeah, in Coach's Corner, we've got Rick Stone of Fiji and Tim Sheens of Australia. And we've also got the Captain's Club, where legendary Fiji skipper Petro Sivinasiva gets down and dirty with Australia's Cameron Smith.
I'm sure they enjoyed that one, didn't they?
They probably did.
Okay then, let's touch base with the semi-final, shall we? First up at Wembley, 67,000 people there watching it. Not a bad attendance, wasn't it?
I thought it was a great attendance, to be honest. Probably something fairly similar to what attended for the Challenge Cup final, allegedly, even though they named 78,000 on the gate for that particular one. But I thought it was a great atmosphere as well, for the first game at least. I think with the way that the first game ended, I think a lot of people decided that they'd ebb away from the stadium, so it was a little bit disappointing that by the time Australia had run in their 11th try against Fiji, there was probably only about 6,000 or 7,000 left at Wembley.
Is that all they scored? Just the 11?
I think you're right, yeah, okay. Just the 11.
Alright then, it was heartbreak for England though, wasn't it? 21 seconds remaining, just one big tackle needed to prevent New Zealand finding their way through, and sadly heartbreak for Kevin Sinfield and Steve McManara's boys.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate, because I think for me, that was Kevin Sinfield's best performance of the tournament, actually. He was in everything that was good. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Nathan.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's probably the best game I've seen him play for England and Leeds. You just have to look at that delayed pass that set up, I think it was the second England try. Without that, England would never have gone ahead in the first place, but you can obviously point the finger at him for his shocking defence. There's no other way to put it, to let Sean Johnson just dart through a massive gap.
Hang on, you're not blaming that. You're not blaming it on Kevin Sinfield. Yeah. You can't blame that game on falling down on one incident.
No, I can blame that you can blame the defence on him, because if he'd have stayed where he was instead of jumping out the line, then, well, could have been a different story.
I think the platform was made when Sam Burgess gave that penalty away, actually.
There was actually a problem when one of the Burgess lads actually gave away a penalty, yeah. But
on the last tackle as well.
Isn't this typical of British sport, British journalism? We look round for the scapegoat. I'm sorry, I'm not going to have a scapegoat in this. I think McNamara got his tactics wrong initially.
I thought you said you wasn't looking for a scapegoat.
I'm only kidding.
Other than that, though, the boys looked like they got the job done. They dealt with everything that New Zealand threw at them. Unfortunately, the last 10 minutes, I just got the impression that the guys wanted to tackle the way to them rather than trying to get possession back and play the way out of danger.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there, to be honest, Adrian. I think certainly, the first 15 minutes, even just before England took the lead, I thought New Zealand started out the brighter of the two sides, to be honest. They looked far more eager in attack, and it was only good defence from England that kept them at bay. I know certainly they had an early try disallowed by the video referee. Correct decision, I hasten to add. And then Sean O'Loughlin popped up on the shoulder to finish that move, and 6-0. It was a little bit against the run of play, but I thought England really grew into that first half. And by the time New Zealand had responded, that was a bit against the run of play as well, wasn't it?
Certainly was, and that was the moment New Zealand grasped the game by the scruff of the neck, wasn't it?
They did. They took it in at 8-all at half time, and you know, a second half it was a bit of a slow start from England. Tuivasa-Sheck showing why he's one of the top wingers in the world, to be honest, with a couple of excellent finishes.
Still a bit of a kid. He's only 20.
I know. How good is he going to get? That's going to be quite scary, you know, when you've got him on one wing, Vatavai on the other wing. It's like, whoa. You know, you've got to be about 6'4" and 17 stone to stop Vatavai from going over the top of you, haven't you?
He had a great game, but unfortunately for Ryan Hall, okay, he scored the tries for England, but he made the mistake that allowed New Zealand to find a way through, and then when we thought he was going to go all the way, he somehow tripped himself up.
Yeah, there was one particular incident where perhaps he didn't have the legs that he thought he had, and unfortunate, because we know that Hall is a pretty good winger. We know that he's come up with lots of tries at international level in particular, and unfortunate, but these are all little incidents that lead to the loss, aren't they? So yes. We're not actually scapegoating one player, it's all of them.
It is indeed. like the way you did that, by the way. I just thought, by the way, obviously the main star player that everyone was talking about before the game is Sonny Bill Williams, and how quiet was he? What a great performance England did on him.
To be honest, his stats didn't show that, because he tackled his heart out. He came up with about 30-odd tackles.
What, was he tackling himself?
He must have been, but you know, he carried the ball in something like 15, 20 times as well during the game. So, but I think you're right. I think that England certainly policed him particularly well over the course of the game. And in response, England had a valiant performance from James Graham and you know, Sam Burgess, who got the official nod of the man of the match, even though I will stick my hand up now and say Sean O'Loughlin, I thought he had a great game against the New Zealanders.
I actually picked Kevin Sinfield
and I went for Widdop.
So there you go, that's three opinions just in one room, isn't it?
I can imagine at the end of it they had that many different variations on the man of the match. You just put the names in a bag and pulled one out, haven't they?
Yeah, somebody pick this, will you?
Yeah, without a doubt. Nathan, with a minute to go, New Zealand knocking on the door, did you think England were going to hold on?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
He was deliberating over that one.
The guy next to me as well during the game just kept saying, they're going to score, which didn't really help my morale. And when I've written an opening line for my match report saying England booked their place in next week's final, it was like a double blow for me.
Hang on, we've got our scapegoat. It's Nathan's fault. It's Nathan's fault. He wrote it first.
Well, obviously, everyone's going to blame Kevin Sinfield missing the tackle before. It was clever work by Johnson, to be honest. He's seen Sinfield racing up, and he just seemed to step one way, didn't he, to give him the leverage to step off the other leg and move away from Sinfield.
I think there's a bit of an underrated pass in the movement as well from Nuasala from dummy half, because he just
slowed it down, didn't he?
He did. He slowed it right down. It's probably the slowest pass that has been thrown from a dummy half all tournament, and it just did enough to tease Sinfield out of the line, because he was thinking, I can probably get a hand on it even. And then when he realised he was caught with it just beyond him, he tried to straighten up to make the tackle, by which stage Sean Johnson had put a step on, and it carried him past him, didn't it?
Yeah, I think my problem with Sinfield was he tried to be a bit of a hero. I mean, he probably thought he was going to get the interception there. Was obviously a slower pass than Isaac Luke would throw, but he's the villain now, not the hero.
I had everything crossed, praying that he would have missed it. No, done a Don Fox or something underneath the sticks, but he never did, he?
No.
Or was it Neil Fox? Which one was it?
It was Neil Fox. No, you're right, it was Don Fox. Okay, it was Don Fox. It's been a rugby league history.
I thought he was going to do a Don Fox. I was hoping he would have, anyway.
The poor lad, he's missed it. Although he wouldn't have been saying
that had been made up.
It would have put it into extra time as well. That would have messed the TV schedules up, wouldn't it?
Certainly would have, wouldn't it?
But overall, I mean, you can point to, you know, England throwing it away. You can point to little moments where things didn't quite go to plan. You can also point to the fact that New Zealand, they played it right to the bitter end, didn't they? And I think they deserve a lot of credit for the way they carried themselves through that, and the way they've gone about this tournament, to be honest. Maybe that's our problem in England, that we're too gracious in defeat. Perhaps we should go around and, you know, kick over a few prams and push over a couple of teddy bears and get over it.
Well, a lot was made about the fact they've coasted to the semi-finals. I'm on about New Zealand there, but they've shown during that game that when they can dig in, they've got the ability to do so.
Oh, they're tough. Yeah, they're really tough. They've got that massive pack, which certainly takes them around places. You know, obviously we'll be hearing from Jared Warrior Hargreaves in a little while, and he's just one of the probably about half a dozen massive men that you can pick in that New Zealand pack. And, you know, when they've got players on the sideline as well that didn't get picked for this game, wow, they've got a lot of strength in depth. And this isn't a New Zealand side that we talked about probably 10, 15 years ago, which was fairly easy beat. This is a side which we must remember, the current world champions. And I think everybody's forgotten that. Probably because it's so long since the last World Cup, to be fair.
Well, it's been 5 years, hasn't it? My maths are great.
Oh,
you're impressed, aren't you?
You're on form tonight. He's all right with these figures. It's just when you start mentioning countries that he gets a bit mixed up.
Yeah, without doubt. After the game, in the media melee in the tunnel at Wembley, I managed to hook James Graham out of the pack and grab the word of him. It is only a short interview because he didn't really want to talk, but we got enough out of him for an interview anyway. James Graham, 1 minute from victory, agonising at the end of it.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to put into words how everyone's feeling at the minute. Like, personally and as a team, it's devastating. So, yeah.
Yes, it was devastating, but it was a great game of rugby despite the result, though, wasn't it?
Oh, to be honest, like, I don't really care about that. I mean, if you were watching at home or in the crowd, it was probably good to watch, but for us as players, it makes no difference.
Overall, for the 8 minutes, though, you did give New Zealand a good dig and you had yourselves in the winning position.
Yeah, we did, but I mean, it counts for nothing. When people look back, it'll just say that you know, that New Zealand won, and people probably won't remember the performance or whatever. And yeah, they're in the final next week, we're not. So,
see, guys disappointed, aren't they?
Oh, massively. It's very quiet in that. It was quiet in that dressing room after, and really hard to put into words how everyone's feeling.
Great start though by the boys to get themselves 8-0 up.
Yeah, but again, started well, but it's come to nothing, hasn't it? So yeah, not the best.
Overall, though, have you enjoyed the tournament to be other than today?
Oh, I always enjoy playing rugby league. It's something I love doing, and yeah, something I don't really take for granted, well, I shouldn't take for granted. And yeah, it's always fills me with immense pride to throw the English shirt on. And yeah, these past few weeks have been no different.
There you go, James Graham, obviously upset to have lost that semi-final, but he had a decent tournament for England, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I thought, you know, one of the top forwards for England, to be honest, over the course of the tournament. And, you know, he can hold his head up high. He's proved himself to be world-class. What says you, Nathan?
Yeah, definitely agree. I think he's one of those players who does a lot of work. He doesn't always get the credit he deserves, but he's playing in the best league in the world for one of the best teams in the world, so... fantastic player, and it's only good for England to have players playing in the NRL who can bring that experience back.
Certainly is with Dart as well. He was suitably backed up as well by the Burgess brothers as well, wasn't he?
He was, the Bash brothers. Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to call them from here on in, because they certainly put themselves about and let the opposition know that they're there, don't they?
Okay, disappointing end to the tournament for England, wasn't it? We've already mentioned a warrior within the New Zealand pack. That is Jared Warry Hargreaves, and I caught up with him after the game. Jared Warry Hargreaves, it's all about playing for 8 minutes in a game of rugby league, and that's exactly what New Zealand did.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think you know, that was our main focus leading into the game this evening, and we spoke about it early before we ran out, and you know, our motto was playing for the full 80, and we definitely did that.
What do you make of the challenge from England today, though?
Oh, mate, fantastic. You know, credit to England, mate. They came out, and I really do believe they dished us up, and yeah, it was just an awesome encounter, and just really positive that we got out of it. It was a clutch play, and we needed it, mate, and you know, that was our world campaign, do or die pretty much. And credit to Shawnee, mate, he pulled it at the time we needed, and yeah, we ended up coming away with the win. I thought it was a pretty key pass from Frank Paul at dummy half there, from hooker. I thought you know, to nail the pass, and then Shawnee finished the job. And yeah, we do expect those things from our key players. But mate, you know, it was just credit to all our boys. They perform well right through the whole forward pack, mate. You sort of look up before you carry the ball, and you have a look at who you're running at, and it's like, oh, I'm going to get dished up here. So yeah, mate, you know, they were fantastic, and just really unlucky to, you know, not get the win. You know, we got to get our recovery right, and tick all those boxes during the week, and just try and prepare well. And I guess, you know, it looks like we'll be playing Australia, and we'll be doing everything we can, mate, to prepare well and try and perform as, you know, obviously we've got to step it up. Oh, mate, every individual has to play their best game they've ever played, and you know, it's going to be tough, and I think all our boys are going to be ready. This will probably be the biggest, I guess, you know, playing for your country, your family. I think in a grand final in a World Cup, it's definitely going to be the biggest game of my career.
Overall, Charlie, did you enjoy the Wembley experience?
Loved it, mate. I guess played here before, but mate, the atmosphere was just amazing, and you know, the England supporters definitely are very vocal, and mate, it was just awesome experience.
That's one thing I've noticed with the New Zealand and Australian players. They're amazed by the atmosphere that we generate over here for a game of rugby league. What do they do when they're in Australia, sleeping during the match?
I don't know, but it does make you wonder, doesn't it? Obviously, we're a very vocal lot over here in the Northern Hemisphere, so maybe they appreciate rugby rather than support rugby over in the Southern Hemisphere.
Mentioned about Jared Warrie-Hargreaves wanting to get, he thought he was going to get bashed up or dished up. My, would have been a heck of a tackle to knock him on his backside.
Oh, he's huge, isn't he? You know, I mean, for me, he's been, along with Masaye for Samoa, I think he's been the pick of the forwards in this tournament.
You mentioned the atmosphere at Wembley. It's going to be a great atmosphere at Old Trafford, isn't it?
Oh, I can't wait. In fact, there's no general tickets for sale now, is there? There's just hospitality available.
I've only got mine booked for that hospitality.
Have you?
I'm taking me on bowl of scallops.
Oh, there I was thinking that you was going to nip in with the famous prawn sandwiches at Old Trafford.
No.
You
know, bowl of scallops.
That Roy Keane spoke about all those years ago. In fact, you'll have to introduce...
In fact, I'm going to push the boat out. I'm going to take some crusty bread to dip into it.
Croutons.
Yeah.
Scouse and croutons. You live a great life, I tell you.
Well, he kind of preempted that they might be playing Australia in that final. That's because when he interviewed him, the game was still on. And he was right, because Australia romped all the way home against Fiji 62-0.
Yeah, it was actually 64-0.
Is it? They scored, lost count.
Yeah, you missed a goal somewhere. It's a good job that Jonathan Thurston wasn't missing. He couldn't miss from anywhere, to be honest. He had a great game, got voted man of the match again. For me, though, Jared Hayne is the man at the moment for Australia. Since Billy Slater's picked up his injury, and obviously he's been missing from the side. English has gone to fullback. Hayne has gone in at centre. And that just seems to be a combination that has wonders for Australia.
Yeah, he's just a very versatile player, and he's a player that even New Zealand will be scared of when they line up against him this week.
I mean, he scored 9 tries in, I think, 3 games, so that just says, you know, what his strike rate is. All I can say, it's just a pity he wasn't pulling on the shirt for Fiji like he did in the last World Cup.
Without a doubt, it's like Uarte, wasn't he? He played for Australia and played for Fiji. Sadly, despite that experience, it didn't make any difference on the day, did it?
No, unfortunately not. They were outgunned. They were brave, very brave. They got stuck in and certainly mixed it and dished it up in the forwards, to borrow that saying from Jared, our old warrior, Hargreaves' mate there. But I certainly do feel that they offered a heck of a lot to this tournament, Fiji, and I think that the plus points of having them involved, having them finish fourth again in the world.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is, you know, because, I mean, when you look at it, they've got a real small pool of players over the course of this tournament. We've heard Rick Stone actually say that they've only got 800,000 people on the islands of Fiji, to be honest. So the fact that they are fourth best rugby league playing nation, and they're still a young rugby league playing nation, suggests that there's an awful lot of more great players to come out of that country.
I thought Australia, though, were excellent on the night, and to be honest with you, they've carried that form on from the minute they got here.
Well, I mean, you'll hear from what Cameron Smith says in a little while. They've not actually conceded a try in 4 games now. I mean, that is a really tremendous defensive effort. And to be honest, if you can keep one end, you know, so watertight, and you're not conceding, you're always going to win, aren't you?
Well, they've got the strength in depth, haven't they? We mentioned the fact they've lost Billy Slater, but they can bring Jared Hayne into fullback, and or if you don't want them to do that, they can bring somebody else in who's just as good.
Yeah, Inglis, for example, or even Darius Boyd has played a lot of fullback during his time as well. So, you know, they've got 4 world-class fullbacks, and what I like about Australia is that they make sure they pick the best players. And they're always versatile. They can always fill a multitude of roles. I mean, over the course of a game, you'll see Cameron Smith sort of pop up at halfback, but, you know, you'll see him pop up at loose forward, you'll see him play at hooker. It's just that versatility throughout the Australian game, and some very, very consistent forward plays, which helps them through.
The bookies have made them favourites to win this trophy. Do you think they've lived up to the billing, Nathan?
Yeah, I think they're always a very tough team to play. I think New Zealand won't be too scared by that, because I think New Zealand as well are a frightening team. I've heard a couple of people say that Australia will win by 20. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I'm with you on that, Nathan, actually. I think it's going to be a really close encounter of the rugby league kind, I think you can say. But I reckon we're going to see 80 minutes of the sides bashing into each other. And at the end of the day, it's probably going to take a similar sort of moment to somebody missing a tackle. And that's going to separate the sides. I really see this as being such a close one. And we've seen some great play between these two nations throughout the last few years. They're so close on paper, I reckon it's a cigarette paper between them, to be honest.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
This is Chris Hill. This is the Rugby League World Cup final hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General.
Now, Chris Hill started on the bench on Saturday, didn't he? You know, for me, he didn't have his best game for England during that World Cup against New Zealand on Saturday at Wembley. No, you've got to answer the question, come on. Don't be just sitting there looking at me.
You've asked me for the last 5 weeks about Chris Hill. Every single time you've played that, so I was going to just...
I've got a man out. Crush on him.
I reckon that's where it is. We're going to have for next week, by the way. We're going to go through our, you know, sort of top fives or top sixes of the tournament and whatever. I'm sure that we should have a, you know, best man crush, because yours would be easy. You just pick Chris every time. I'm gonna defer this actually to our guest, you know, and let him have his opinion on how he sees Chris and how he's gone.
I thought you were gonna ask me my man crush.
We'll ask you that after.
Right. No, I think Chris Hill's a very good player. Yeah, what more do you want to know?
Okay, know. We'll leave it at that then. He's a very good player.
Hang on, what about this man crush thing? We've got to put him on the spot now.
No, I won't say. If no, this is going, fair enough. This is going out on the internet,
okay,
I won't say.
Let's move away from man crushy, shall we?
Yeah, well, it's your fault. You mentioned it first of all, mate.
Okay, we've been speaking about the Fiji and Australia game. Let's get some reaction. Let's step our feet into the captain's club, shall we, and get the reaction from them guys.
I don't know about my final game. Could be playing senior football next year. Golden oldies back in Australia. No, don't put that down. No. Yeah, look, it was obviously a tough night, you know, but when I look back on the month that we had with this Fiji inside, just immensely proud, you know, for us to be here, to get to Wembley has been a huge achievement. And I know that, you know, from now that we're moving forward for Fiji and Rugby League, we're going to go back in a few days' time back to Fiji. I'm pretty sure there'll be a lot of proud people there when we get back there, and, you know, it's going to be exciting what we're going to be doing over the next few years in terms of, you know, developing our young guys over there and, you know, exposing them to you know, the NRL and the Super League competitions. It's a well-oiled machine. I think, you know, you look right across the park there and, you know, they're all at the playing their best footy at the moment. And, you know, all I know is that next week's final is going to be a cracker. But, you know, when they're in that mood, you know, I've been a part of that. And it's hard being on the other end of it, that's for sure. But, you know, when they're in that mood and you know, they're playing with that speed and that consistency, it's pretty hard to contain, yeah, that's for sure. Now, I guess, as Danny said, you know, we've got a tremendous young group there and, you know, it was just an honour to be out there with them. And, you know, obviously disappointed about the result tonight and the way we played. But, you know, again, I just spoke to the boys after the game and just said how immensely proud I am of them. And, you know, I couldn't think of a better way to finish my career, and that, you know, I was around some amazing young guys, and that, you know, it's going to be great now to sit back and watch their careers unfold, because I know that, you know, for many of them, they're going to have tremendous careers ahead of them.
Well, we were a little bit embarrassed, really, by our first performance, defensive performance, to have, what was it, 24 points scored against us. Yeah, that wasn't our standards. You know, we wanted to be a lot better than that, and I remember the meeting after the that game, and we sort of sat down and said, well, the only way we're going to win this tournament or have a chance of winning it is on our defence. And we've worked really hard at training with that, and all the boys bought into what we wanted to do. So I believe the last Australian team to go four consecutive matches without try against them was 30 years ago, so that's something that we're very proud of. But yeah, that's nice that we've done that up to now, but it's going to need an even bigger effort defensively next week. No, we haven't spent a whole lot of time looking at the Kiwis or thinking about them. We've just really worried about ourselves, and because they're in a different pool to us. We need to play well in our pool to get through. So really the only vision I seen of the game was probably the first 20 minutes or 30 minutes of tonight. But whether or not they're building or whether they're good at tournaments or not good at tournaments, we know that they're going to be well prepared next week. Steve Kearney's a great coach. I've spent a lot of time with him down in Melbourne, and he'll have the boys well prepared. It was a pretty tough hit out for him tonight, so they'll be ready for this game next week. It didn't bother me who we played as long as we were there. 2008 was, it's a long time ago, and I know we're not going to be using that as motivation. Sure, it'll be in a few of the guys sort of back of their minds, but we got a totally different team, different coach. Our motivation is trying to go out and be the best Australian team we can be in this tournament. And a lesson that we have learned in the past in 2008 and in 2010, it doesn't really matter what's happened in the four games prior in this campaign. All that matters is what happens next Saturday, and who goes out and plays a better football game and who wants it more.
They have the captain's club. Cameron Smith didn't sound too happy to have reached the final, did he? Whereas Petro Senisiva was really up for the fact that he played at Wembley.
Who's that again?
Petro Senisiva.
You still got it wrong. Petro Senisiva.
Okay. It's a gag that I've got going.
You can't go.
Because I know you're his hero.
I'm his hero.
He's your hero.
I'm really pleased that
he's your hero.
Petro, if you're listening, thanks a lot. I'm really pleased that you find me as your hero.
I just got the impression for Fiji from that interview that Petro did give, that for them that was their final last week.
It was, I mean, I don't think that they expected to get through to the semi-finals this time round. I think that once they did reach that, then they knew they weren't going to go any further because they were up against one of the big three in the world, weren't they? And there's a good chance that they might be facing the big three again in a future tournament, but everyone was a little bit guarded about that one after the game. But they were talking about potentially a test match next April to decide who will play in the Four Nations alongside England, New Zealand and Australia next season. So, watch this space, I suppose.
Yeah, Cameron Smith weren't too happy to have made the final, or was he? And he mentioned the fact that they'd not really been looking at New Zealand. I don't get that. I don't buy into that.
I'm not sure about whether he was happy or not. I think it was a really guarded interview, to be honest. Perhaps he, has said some stuff in the past that has been taken out of context, and that was something that he was trying not to be taken out of context, perhaps. But I think what you did find with him was a very focused man. He made a comment about the fact that they haven't conceded a try in the last four games. He mentioned about when they played against England how he felt they were embarrassed despite actually winning that game. So perhaps that just tells you all you need to know about Australian mentality, and perhaps it is something that we need to, glean a little bit more of in this country, or would you go the other way and play your own rugby against them?
I don't know. I think that they've got a very front-facing, forward mentality. I think they're very serious in their approach, and that does show on the pitch. Because they get the results to show that. Mm.
Your thoughts, it did seem a bit of a guarded interview, that one, didn't it, really?
Yeah, I think so. I spoke to him earlier in the tournament, and there were about 10 people around the table, and he was a lot more open then. I don't know if it's maybe the British media that he doesn't have the relationships with. I don't know, to be honest.
I think it's got something to do with the gutter-style media they have in Australia.
Well, you can't describe Nathan as gutter.
I didn't say that.
Nathan's penthouse. He's a guest of ours. We're promoting you. You've gone to the penthouse suite.
Okay, then semi-final is up on Saturday. It's at Old Trafford. We like going there, don't we?
Yeah, did you say semi-final?
Did I?
Did you?
No, I said final. I'm sure I did.
No, he said semi-final.
This is what I thought. Yeah, I couldn't. Sorry. But yes, it's Old Trafford again. We do like going there. And it's nice to see big occasions being taken there and being within rugby league territory, rugby league heartland territory.
I know Alex Ferguson doesn't really like the rugby league being played on Old Trafford because it turns up the pitch, but this is going to be a great occasion, isn't it? It's great that it's nearly 70,000 going
to
be there.
It is, but you know, I don't think he'll have anything to say about it these days, will he, with him not being manager of that particular club anymore.
No.
But whether he's a compatriot who's in charge there, he'll have his feelings, I don't know, but you're right.
Oh, David Moores is a fan of rugby league, he's even admitted it.
Oh, well, that's okay then. He's all right by me. We should get him on the show. I wonder whether he'd agree. Probably not.
No, he won't.
There's one thing I always wonder. Are we going to get any royalty attending the game?
Any royalty?
Any royalty.
Well, we are. Me and David are there.
Yeah, we're going. And there's bound to be Ellery Hanley or someone like that.
Ray French is there.
Ray
so
oh, yeah, Rugby League royalty.
But overall, the game as a whole, who's going to get their hands on the trophy?
You know, I'm going to stick my head on the block here. I'm going to go New Zealand. I think that will cause another upset. I think that, you know, the Aussies might approach this one with a little bit too much confidence, shall we say. And, yeah, I don't think that they can take this New Zealand side lightly at all.
Well, I've said Australia from the off, and looking at their performances, I'm going to stick with Australia. I think they've got the first and factor that it's going to be the real difference between the both teams.
I've said New Zealand from the start, actually. And I thought I was going to be the different one, Dave, but no, I think both teams on the day are world-class. They've got world-class players. They've got players who can make or break a game. So it probably is going to come down to something like last week, a player makes an error, or the flip side of that, a player does something special and goes on to create history.
I might wear my Liverpool top on Saturday.
Oh, God, you'll get lynched.
Think get away with it?
You'll get lynched. You can't go into Manchester United with a Liverpool shirt on. Why are we even? Every time I've mentioned rugby union, you've shut me up as well over the last few weeks. And you mentioned another code of football.
It's for what, fancy wearing my brand new Liverpool top at Manchester.
You'll have to do it with like Liverpool cufflinks instead. You might not get spotted as much.
Okay, I'll do that one, shall I? Okay, we've stepped our toes into the captain's club. Let's go into the coach's corner. It's Rick Stone and the man Tim Sheen.
Yeah, look, a bit disappointing considering we played pretty well most of the tournament. You know, penalties and errors didn't help us, and when you give the Aussies that much possession, it's, you know, definitely got some momentum and we struggled with it. We went for a patch there in both halves. We went set for set and we didn't look too bad, but just our consistency and our understanding of how important it is needs to improve. And, you know, to compete against the better sides, we, especially the Aussies, I thought they were pretty good today. They didn't sort of make too many errors. They were pretty relentless and kept coming, and their execution was good. And, you know, everyone seemed to be on song. So when you're playing the Aussies in that mood, you know, you've got to be pretty tidy yourself. And that's something that we struggle with. We couldn't slow the play of the ball down. Therefore, we give away a few too many penalties and probably force the issue a little bit when we had the ball. Therefore, made some errors, which, you know, basically compounded the position we're in. But, look, it's been a great tournament. We've had a good time. We've played some good footy. We've competed pretty hard against some really good teams. And today probably leaves a bit of taste in your mouth, but what has been a terrific tournament for Fiji. Yeah, pretty happy with the whole 17 team that played, but just collectively, just need to play a bit smarter, obviously, you know, and, you know, full credit, the Aussies, they'll go into this final with some confidence, mate. The other mob are a good team too, so should be a cracking final. Oh, look, it's hard to worry about things you can't control. I don't think you can get yourself too worked up in it. There's a couple of, I think, decisions, 50-50 decisions, where they got some six more tackles close to our line that I thought would have been 50-50, and we didn't seem to get the rub of the green in that. You know, but that's footy, and you've got to just keep working hard, and hopefully things will turn around if you stay positive and keep competing. And, you know, we kept competing, but the Aussies were a bit too slick today. I think we've had a really good camp. I've never been involved in a team that is tight or as close and haven't had any problems with any of them. They've all got together really well, and I suppose their faith has a lot to do with that, and they've enjoyed each other's company. And I thought, you know, by the time we get to this time, it's 7 weeks into a tour. You know, we left the Monday after the grand final and went to Fiji for a week. So we've been on the road for a long time, but we have not had any problems whatsoever. They've all sort of worked really hard, and a terrific collective group led by, you know, a champion player and a really humble person. And, you know, I think that's reflection of the group, and they've enjoyed their time, and I don't think you'll get too many blokes that won't put their hand up pretty quickly if we get a chance to play again soon. Look, we improved every week. We just took a couple of steps backwards today, which was a bit disappointing. But look, the tournament for us has been a massive success. It's been a massive success for some young players in the NRL are just finding their feet. They haven't played many games. Corbin Sims has played about 8 games, and he showed he can stand up to international sort of international footy. Kane Evans hasn't played an NRL game yet, and I thought he was terrific tonight. Young Apasaya plays hooker, who hasn't played a first grade game for South Sydney yet. There's plenty of emerging kids, and hopefully they'll get the chance and get some sort of recognition out of what they've done in this tournament, and help themselves at club level. Just before we go, gents, ladies, I'd just like to thank both the Fijian community that's in England, and obviously the rugby league community in England, who are taking us to their hearts. We've had some great times at Rochdale and St Helens, and even out at Hull when we played England. We've had tremendous support. We've been welcomed with open arms wherever we've gone, and we've really enjoyed the experience. Thank you.
We won the game and stopped them from scoring. That was our main plan, but we've got some bumps and bruises on us, so might look easy from the sideline, but I think if you talk to the guys, they can tell you it wasn't. So they put up a brave effort. We've put more time into our defence than our offence, and I think although we've scored quite a few points the last 2 weeks, but our offence was still, I think, off the pace a little. We're better today again. We're going to need to be better again next week. But I'd rather spend the time in defence, and particularly, as Cam said after that first game, we really needed to nail out. And I think, am I right in saying New Zealand have probably scored more points than anyone, and we've had less scored against us than anyone? So that should be an interesting butting of heads next week. It's interesting with 12 interchanges. You seem to make them, and I didn't want to. I don't think we haven't used the 12 yet. In fact, we get to about 8, and I'm really giving guys 5 minutes at the end of the game. So we want more time to our better players. When I say our better players, our starting players, our experienced guys. So, but the 12-man interchange allows a rotation, particularly for the younger ones. So, we've experimented a bit, and if someone was injured like Bird tonight, had the cork, so we kept him from going back on. There are a couple of guys that we rested, given that we went in with a few bumps and bruises on us as well. They've all added, the minutes are adding up, and we've still got 12 men interchange next week. So, I've deliberately given Andrew a bit more each week, and he's delivering, getting better and better. So, but he's still young and raw, and you'd be looking to experienced players to hold the fort mostly, and Andrew is that interchange off the bench, I think, is what he's doing for us at the moment is ideal. I can't see me starting him at this point, but his career is headed that way if he continues to keep his head down, yeah.
There you have it, there. Get me teeth in, coach's corner. And everyone seems to be quite happy with what Rick Stone said by giving him a round of applause.
Yeah, I've never, ever experienced that before in any post-match press event or any press event, to be honest, where somebody's been given a standing ovation at the end. I had to actually cut that short because it actually went on for about 30 seconds, and I thought that nobody would want to hear a load of cheering and whooping for about 30 seconds. And that was it, again, in comparison.
If I could do a whoop, I'd do one. Whoop, whoop. That's the best I can do.
Yeah, I don't think it was you who was stood there at the time doing that, to be honest, But, we saw something very measured there. Tim Sheens, a very consummate professional coach. He's been around the blocks. Has a very experienced side in some respects, doesn't he, these days? But it was interesting hearing him speak about Andrew Fifita at the end there and the way that he's kind of grown into this, becoming an international player. He's come off the back of a great season for Cronulla. And like he says, he can go places, can't he, that kid, if he knuckles down?
Yeah, definitely. There's quite a few players in the Australia lineup who were admittedly probably towards the back end of their careers. I know there was a question in the press conference today to preview the game asking Cameron Smith if it'd be his last World Cup. And he said he didn't want to put a date on his international future, but you've got to look at the younger players who are coming through, because sometimes they're going to push the older experienced guys out.
Hang on, I'm thinking Cameron Smith, he's only 34. Sivan Asiva's just retiring at 37. He's got another 3 years left.
He's in his prime, isn't he, at 34?
Oh, go on. Yeah, go on, Cameron. Don't pack in yet, lad.
No, Steve McManus say, yeah, pack in, man. Okay, then, just moving away from the action, at some point this week we've got the Rugby League International Federation Awards, and we've got the rundown of the runners and riders of who's going to win what.
Yeah, the Rugby League International Federation Player of the Year Award will go to one of these three players: Danny Brough from Scotland, Greg Inglis, Australia, and Sonny Bill Williams from New Zealand. Two glamour boys there.
Yeah, obviously Danny Brough is going to be the outside bookie's favourite, isn't he? But if you're looking for a hot one, it's got to be Sonny Bill, hasn't it?
I don't know, after that slip he made at the Aliwal Jones in that first game against Samoa.
Yeah, how embarrassing that was for him.
That really was. I mean, that's going to be on his... I'm sure it'll be on his highlights reel for many a year, that, to be honest. The way he broke through, looked like he was going to score, and then didn't. He put a foot dead, didn't he?
Yeah, I think the funny thing was he almost did it again the week after.
He did, yeah, yeah. We've also got the Coaches Award, and that's going to be contested between Sean Wayne, Wigan, Maguire from South Sydney, and Trent Robinson of the Sydney Roosters.
The one that interests me is the fact that Sean Wayne was Maguire's assistant, so it's the master against the apprentice, isn't it?
It is, in a way, yeah, to be honest. And then Trent Robinson, another coach who's, you know, bode his time in Super League, really, with the Catalan Dragons. And I think he'll get it, to be honest. I think he's done a brilliant job going back over to the Sydney Roosters and getting them to lift the trophy.
I was going to say, Nathan, for Sean Wayne to get it, it all depends how highly rated and regarded the Super League is amongst the Australian, New Zealand, people who pick the winners, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think Sean Wayne will get it, but I think he has had probably... he's definitely been the best coach in the Super League for me this year, even though a lot of people have been pro Paul Anderson, because what Sean Wayne has done, he's inherited a squad that... You know, there's been players who left, the likes of Tommy Lulawai, Brett Finch left last season. He's gone on to lead them to do the double. And the challenge is on for him to do the same next year with another few faces stepping out the door.
Yeah, because I suppose in some respects, no one was talking about Wigan lifting anything this season. So the fact that they've gone and won a double is sort of really good, isn't it?
And he's a Wiganer through and through.
He is. In fact, he'd be my pick for the next England coach, to be
good
honest.
Job.
If Mr. McNamara does decide that, or he gets his future decided for him over the next few weeks, we don't know at the minute.
So, okay, then we've gone for what? Sonny B. Williams and Trent Robinson.
Yep.
Right, next one.
And the next set of nominations, these are for the emerging players to come through. So we've got George Burgess, England, Anthony Milford of Samoa, and Boyd Cordner of Australia.
Oh, for me, based on World Cup performances, the boy Milford.
You know, I'm going to do the first thing in about 7 weeks here, Adrian.
You're going to agree with me, aren't
you? I am going to agree with you, yeah, because, you know, I think he's been sensational, to be honest. And when you look at it, he's only 19 years of age. You mentioned about Tuivasa Sheck being only 20. You know, Milford's 19. He's got the world at his feet. I think he's going to conquer it soon.
He's had a great season as well in Australia, not just in the World Cup.
That's true, yeah, yeah. He's made 18 appearances in his debut season, scored 9 tries as well for Canberra, and some of his highlight reel has been, you know, fantastic, to be honest.
Could we see him in the Super League next year?
No.
It'd be great if we could.
We could. If we could get him over here, fine, but I don't think we could afford
him.
Well,
there's been a club down the road, not so far away, made an offer.
Ah, really?
Okay.
Ah. Is it one that's sort of moneyed up fairly recently?
Mm, yeah.
Right, okay. Doesn't need to say much else, though.
Okay, we've got one more subject, one more category. Is that it?
We've got the referees, haven't we? Silverwood's there, Shane Hain from Australia, and Ben Cummins, I think, has also been on the shortlist.
From an English point of view, I'd just say Mr. Silverwood.
Yeah, well, we best do, because, you know, we've got to be respectful, haven't
exactly.
we?
Exactly. Look after our own, that's what I say. Be interesting to see who actually do get the wins. That's just our opinion on that one. And I'm going for an Australia victory in the World Cup.
Okay. And I'm also thinking as well, you know, Richard Silverwood, he's got the nod for the World Cup final as well. What's your thoughts on that, Nathan?
They've gone down a path at the start of the tournament where they've wanted to go with neutral officials, so I think it's only fair they continue that right to the end.
Two teams are left standing. Who's going to get the hands on the Rugby League World Cup? All will be revealed in the next Rugby League World Cup final hooter.
You're listening to the Rugby League World Cup Final Hooter on Radio General, Hospital Radio for Warrington, and LoveRugbyLeague.com.